Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A brand new episode of Don't Quote Me. I'm your host, Orla Condon, and this week I'm joined by the wonderful Sorelle Mazia, otherwise known as Coco Sorelle. With over 30 million likes on TikTok, Sorelle shares her hilarious commentary on everything from telly to politics, all with a dose of positivity. Known to many My Pot on Paper listeners for her Love Island hot takes both on and off the podcast, Sorelle has now also found a home on the red carpet interviewing some of Hollywood's biggest stars. Coming up on today's show, lots of Love Island updates as Maya Jama is announced as the new host, Ekin-Su confirms a spot on Dancing on Ice, and Chloe and Toby reportedly call time on their relationship. Married at First Sight UK comes to a messy, messy end ahead of a two-part reunion this week. And as BravoCon wraps for another year, we're talking about some of the biggest moments from the weekend and some of our favourite franchises. In other news, Sorelle is going to start binging The Watcher after the Netflix series had me hooked. And we're going to hear from you guys about the chaotic friends in your lives. Let's get stuck in. Okay, guys, I am going to say at the very top of this episode, it's been a week for me. I am feeling a certain way when the world is kind of feeling a little bit heavier than it normally does for me. It's a bit self-induced. It's a bit mopey. So I'm really just going to be super self-indulgent today and talk about my favorite things, which are reality TV shows, and talk about one of my favorite people to talk about this shit with, Sorelle Mazia, Coco Sorelle, friend of My Pot on Paper and friend to the world through her social media channels. Welcome back. Or
hello.
Welcome. You've never been here, but welcome back to our relationship on podcast.
Yeah. This is, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. And I'm honored to be, you know, this is my first time on this pod and I'm very happy. This is going to be fun.
We did so well on the other one. I thought let's
dream team.
Transferable skills, you know, let's bring them on. Let's bring them on over.
Exactly.
So we were just having a little how you doing chat just before we started recording. And I feel it would be unfair not to reiterate while we're recording that you're having a pretty amazing time right now. And it's one of those lovely things to see as the person who is a content creator, to see someone right. And I know for you, it's hectic and you're like, it's all happening. But to watch someone who truly deserves it riding that wave is so lovely to watch. Are you totally just fuzzed up with it all? Or are you trying to grasp how cool it is?
I'm trying, you know, when they say try and be present, I am trying to appreciate, because honestly, stuff like this is it's insane. It's literally insane. But it's literally one thing after the other at the moment. So they're short-lived moments of oh, this cool thing happened. And then it's another cool thing. I'm a kid in a toy store and I'm just wow, lots of cool stuff. But yeah, no, it's good. I'm kind of running on like adrenaline and that sort of vibe. But I am trying to be as present and really appreciate it as much as I possibly can, because Lord knows this is kind of, you know, what I've been praying and asking for years. And like, it's just, it's fun and I love it. And it's great.
Yeah. And the last week has been as busy as the weeks before. You were at, what was the premiere you were at yesterday? It was Knives Out, right? It was
Knives Out. Yeah.
Yeah. At the London Film Festival on the red carpet.
Crazy. So what silly. Am I doing on red carpet?
It's so I silly. I love it. I love it so much.
It's like they don't know who they've like got on. I'm the most chaotic human being ever. But no, it was fun. It was really, really fun. And like, yeah, I got a hug from Daniel Craig. That was a moment.
What did he smell like? I feel like he has a really good, strong smell.
I can't specifically say what the scent was.
Yeah.
I can say it smelled like man, but layered. You know, like a man who can not only cut down a tree and build you a house, but can also...
No.
Do they exist? I don't know.
Who do you speak of? Sorry, we're not all hugging Daniel Craig on the daily. I'm so sorry. Oh, no. You've confused me with someone.
No, I'm saying if you were to know a man who can cut down a tree and build a house, that's
if you were to know a man, comma, continue.
Then that is what he would smell of. He just feels very manly and like protectory, and he's so suave and
he's
just a cool guy.
Like he's a cool guy, isn't he? Oh, yeah, that's it. So and like not in a like super intimidating way, but like in a kind of a warm way.
Yeah. In like a warm, friendly, and he just like glides across the red carpet. He was great. He was really, really nice. I mean, I only had, I kid you not, let's say 7 seconds, if even. Yeah.
Those things are always super tight, right? Like you've spent hours getting ready, you're there hours before, you're like getting all set up, all this kind of stuff. Yep. And then it's like you get like moments.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, that was lovely.
And then someone's telling you like, make that go viral. And you're like,
what does that mean?
I don't know. What do I do? Yeah. The worst.
Crazy.
What a week for you. I had one of those weeks where I feel, I don't know, is it the age I'm at? I don't know what it is. It could be seasonally as well. Mm. But I had one of those weeks where I just felt like, I'm just going to be quiet. I just felt really quiet. I felt really like, just like a bit, I don't feel like myself. And I was like, and even coming on here, I was like, oh, I hope I'll find the energy to like, kind of get my shit in gear and like, let's have a fun chat or whatever. And I knew that these topics would get me there, but I have to say, when Sorelle came on the Zoom call, she like couldn't figure out her tech. She couldn't figure out her camera. And she's like, look, I'll just do the old thing. I'll turn it off, turn it back on, and it'll probably be good. In she pops at a 90 degree flip with like the space virtual background behind her. And just this look of sheer confusion. Like, wait, am I in space? Like, purely believing that like, I must be in space. It's just, I was like, this is the tonic that I have needed. So chaotic.
Oh my gosh.
Just keeping you so humble. You were like, wait, why am I on the degree?
And sideways?
Is that France? Like, what's going on?
A mess. Oh,
so thank you so much for like that cleanse before we got going, because we've got some good stories. It was definitely self-indulgent, but there's been some good reality TV news. And I felt, even though it's a little bit old, like we're definitely coming to it last. If you didn't hear, you're probably not in the right place.
Right.
Like, get quicker news, guys. But we're going to cover it because it's obviously how me and you met. And it's obviously a huge part of our TV interest. And it's Love Island. And it's Maya Jama, who has been officially confirmed as the next season of Love Island, which I feel like we discussed on my pod on paper was a rightful decision at the time. Yeah. Were you surprised or were you like, it was going to happen?
I was not surprised. And the only reason was because AJ was taken out of the running.
This is exactly my thinking. Yes. Yeah.
They were the only two that I was like, if anyone, it's going to be them two.
Yeah.
And when AJ came out, I was like, I I would bet my house, if I had a house, I would bet my house on it being
the one that Daniel Craig will buy for you.
Right, exactly.
Or build for you.
Yeah. That house, I'll bet it on my house.
Yeah.
Because, I think it's the right fit.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. I think she's got enough presenting experience to carry the show. I think she's confident enough in herself to bring her own flair to the show and spice it up.
Yeah.
I also don't think there's going to be a lot of biasness with her. I think she's quite a she'll be neutral as a host, and she's a fan, so that always helps.
And she's a fan, which always helps, because Laura Whitmore never really felt like a true fan.
No.
And I'm pretty sure we discussed this on My Pod on Paper as well, about that's just always felt like a weird brand fit for Laura.
Yeah.
Like, it never really felt like a show that really fit into her wheelhouse. And when we were discussing, like, all summer long, you know, who we thought might take over. And then when Laura was confirmed to be leaving, I had always wanted Maya Jama. Like, from when Caroline first announced that she had stepped away and then it became a permanent role, I was like, Maya Jama is the perfect fit here to kind of signal in change on this show as well. It was like a fresh start. It felt like a new vibe. And it felt like the right person. Obviously, it was more recent when her ex Stormzy was on and they had that connection with the show, and it just felt really, really appropriate. And then when it came to this year, I was like, oh, maybe she's gone off the boil just a little bit, because at the time she was super buzzy, like really, really, really buzzy. I thought, oh, maybe she's kind of gone off the boil just a little bit now, because AJ Odudu is now boiling.
Yeah.
Boiling.
Piping hot.
Like,
as he should.
For anyone who doesn't know, Googler. Just Google her and figure it out. She hosted Big Brother, bit on the side. She was on Strictly, I think, like 3-4 years ago. Currently, she's hosting a lot of shit for Channel 4, Maths spin-off show. There's the Breakfast on the weekends. There's something else as well. Oh, the hair thing. She's like a hair show.
Blow up.
She's fucking everywhere. She's
booked
everywhere. Booked and busy. Front of Cosmo UK this month. Like really, really popular. And I was like, she is like more trending right now than Maya Jama is. But then when you introduce the other element that I kept forgetting, which is Big Brother is back and up for grabs.
Exactly.
Then had two really exciting presenter roles that should go to two women. And there is two perfectly placed women who have been grafting for these kind of platforms for the last couple of years. And look, AJ hasn't been confirmed as Big Brother, but if I was a betting person, I'd be pretty fucking confident she's going to get Big Brother.
If she got Big Brother, that would be the perfect fit. Because I do think, and again, we're going off a fit, I think AJ is more fit to Big Brother than she is to Love Island.
Yeah.
And I think Maya is more fit to Love Island than she is to Big Brother.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of them as personalities, as presenters, this would be if all the stars aligned, this would be the perfect outcome. Because they do deserve it. They've been grafting for years. And I'm happy it's Maya. I think she's going to zing up the show. I think the fashions are going to look good. I'm sorry, Laura, but sometimes I honestly was so confused with what you were wearing.
Every time I see anything with a heart on it, I just think Laura Whitmore would have bought that just to wear on Love Island.
Honestly.
Anything with a heart. Anything.
Do you remember that waistcoat situation?
Oh, God love her.
But So I think, but I am glad, though, that Maya didn't go on to the show, actually, kind of differently to you when
at that time.
I'm glad that didn't happen. I think, weirdly enough, it had to be Laura. I just think she overstayed.
Yeah.
It had to be Laura to bridge that gap. And also her and Caroline had a relationship. Do you know what I mean? I think that felt right.
Yeah.
But it was definitely extended far too long.
Oh no, it should have definitely been temporary custody.
Exactly.
Times. I know what you're saying. She was the safest pair of hands to give it to at the time, given what was going on with Caroline. And then obviously later when Caroline took her own life.
Yeah.
It felt actually maybe it wasn't who I wanted, but I actually totally get this decision. And I feel like the network is probably really glad that they went there.
Yeah.
And now I feel like you know, there was questions heading into the season of Love Island of like whether it would be as good, because last year was pretty rough and we all were kind of questioning it, and we spoke about that a lot this summer, and this summer really turned it around. And when they announced that they were going to do winter and summer in 2023, we were all a bit like, oh, like don't, too much too soon, guys, like let's not. But I feel like with new energy, with Maya, with that new energy,
yeah,
could really be. And look, I set high expectations for Love Island and they've absolutely let me down before. So like, who's to say they won't do it again? But it feels like we're heading into kind of next gen of Love Island, and like winter will be a very different show to what we're used to, which has me excited because we give so much fucking time to the show. Want to feel like they're putting the work in to kind of bring you something new. And it, I don't know. I don't know if we're overstating what Maya Jama is going to do, because the host, as we know, doesn't really have a huge role. But I feel at the very least it'll make After Sun bearable.
Yeah. And I think also what was nice when Caroline was doing it was the connections she had with the contestants.
Yeah.
And I think an element of that needs to come back in. And like you're saying, After Sun will actually be a watchable program that doesn't make me want to scrape my eyeballs out.
It's awful. It's so poor.
Bad.
It's so poor.
And I think they also just need to do more with like listening to the fans. And that's not a Maya situation, that's a production situation, but they have to listen to the fans more, because honestly, we want the tweet challenge.
They're 100%. It's like, we need a little bit more. Like, don't be, you can't be afraid of the spice, but we get that you can't give us like extra, extra hot. Do you know what I mean? Like, we get that, like, you know what I mean? Temper it a small bit. Yeah. I saw as well this week, which I thought was just such a weird headline. And just generally, I find Love Island, once the show is over, I don't really care about the buzz around the Islanders. I don't really care about them at the NTAs. I don't really care about all that stuff. But Ekin-Su did an interview, I think last week or the week before, with, I think it was E! News, where she said she was offered the gig, but said she didn't want it. And I just don't buy it. I'm calling bullshit. I just don't buy that she was offered one of the biggest presenting gigs in ITV.
And she said,
that happened, and B, that she said no. Like, I don't believe that Ekin-Su was rang and was like, will you do it? And she said no. And then they were like, right, get Maya on the phone.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it.
Believe that they asked her to help out with After Sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like how on like Watch What Happens Live, there's like Andy and then there's a guy in the bar.
Yeah.
He would have been like the equivalent of the person in the bar.
Oh my God. Do you remember that comedian this year on After Sun?
Oh, don't.
Oh, trigger warning. Don't.
That comedian,
the worst.
My God, no, actually I'm literally having flashbacks.
I know, I have such secondhand embarrassment for him.
It was awful.
Awful Sorrel.
Oh my God, I don't even want to talk about it. It was so bad.
But that kind of secondary role. Yeah, I think Ekin being like, yeah, they rang me and asked me to host. I was like, oh, hon, I don't think they did.
Cute. Sweet.
That's so sweet for you. What is your appetite for Love Island news when the show ends? Like, do you care? Like, the Gemma PLT stuff was only entertaining to me because it was so terrible. Like, I don't care. Like, I just don't care. I want them to be happy, but I just don't care.
No, I'm the same. What I always say is, I like Love Island, the show. If you go on to the show, I'm watching you. Once the show ends, you are no longer a character in my life anymore. Go and do what you need to do. But like, have I checked up on anyone from any other? No, I don't.
No.
It's only the people who I'm like, oh, I actually like, for example, I follow Kaz on Instagram. I like her.
Yeah.
I like India and Danny. Ugh. I like Ekin-Su. I don't follow Davide, but that doesn't mean I don't like him. He's just not somebody who I wanted to necessarily.
You're not missing out. He did the most questionable, like at like SponCon with Boots last week. Like, he did this like Boots optician SponCon where he was like, my glasses are so much about my style. And it was like, oh, Davide, like this is like, you couldn't give a fuck about your glasses. You literally could not care where your glasses came from. This is the least convincing SponCon I have ever seen. And I've seen my fair share of skinny tea ads. Do you know what I mean? Like, fucking give me a break.
That is like, hilarious.
He's like, I got prescription sunglasses as well. And I was like, oh my God. Please believe.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. Like, wish you all the best. However, I will, having said that, that whole Adam and Paige thing,
that had me curious.
That did tingle me senses, because I was seeing the TikTok and I was like, wow, bloody hell. Anyway.
Yeah. Like, he's smarter than that though, right? Like, he's smarter than to get caught in a chipper. Like,
you would think. But no.
But no. But yet, no. But yet,
alas, no. I saw it and I was like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But I would have wanted, like, I expect more. And I don't know why I put that bar up so high.
Yeah, I don't know why we do that to ourselves. Why do you know what? I think the most surprising person, and like, I think there's a lot of them that go into it and like, they understand that there's that fame and fortune coming their way and like all the kind of, you know, career progression that'll come with that. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of them think that like becoming Molly Mae is easier than maybe what it is.
Oh, gosh,
and I
yeah.
think we see that with like, not to be like Gemma, but like Gemma putting up like her YouTube videos being like, I don't really know what to do on these, but I know I'm meant to do them. And it's like, Gemma, like, what the fuck? And like them being like, oh, you know, I love my jewelry, so I'm doing this line with jewelry. When you wear a piece that's worth like 50 grand around your neck and that's it, like, what are you, what? And like, oh, I've always shopped PLT. Oh, really? Because I've never seen you. All you wear is like designer garb, which is fine, but like, stop selling out and trying to sell down to people who won't be able to afford what you actually wear.
110%.
It's that fucking weird.
Also, before you go on to Love Island, I think, let's be honest, no one's going on there for love anymore. Like, love is now the bonus, but what you're going on there is like career, whatever. Let's just call a spade a spade. Before you go in, do your research about PR companies, because some of these PR decisions are awful. And I will say, the Gemma thing, why did you go to PR? You could have done like anything, but PR just made no sense to me. And then the collection was just lackluster. It was like PTA mum going to pick up a three-year-old child. It was
so bad.
Terrible.
I'm so sorry if anyone bought stuff from that range, but I'm sorry, I thought it was bad. Not that I'm fucking fashionista 101 or whatever, but like, no.
But the thing is, for what it was fine. It was like plain basics, fine. But it wasn't of a 19-year-old in her youth and her prime.
No.
Why are we dressing like we're going? What's going on here? This is.
And then you compare those career decisions and those choices and that kind of to who I think has probably had the strongest.
Ooh.
Actually, well, it's a tie, but Tasha and India have both leveraged something fierce out of this show and are moving up the level that I feel like Gemma and Ekin are failing to get up to. Like,
I think Tasha, perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. Like, I nailed it to a T.
Oh.
It fits her. Nothing was jarring or weird. I was like, the fashions, she gave us amazing looks all the time.
Yeah.
The fact that it's pre-loved, tick, tick, tick.
Yeah.
The fact that she did everything to do with, you know, the death campaign and love.
Yeah.
India the same. Makeup with boots, fantastic. Also, it gives her leeway to work with Fenty and other brands. Fantastic. Yeah. I will also add, it's not necessarily what they've done, but more so what they haven't done.
Yeah.
And it's damning.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't technically done anything, but I know what he's trying to get to, and he's positioning himself so perfectly for to get to that point. And I can see a mastermind plotting, and it's working. Yeah. I hope it comes to fruition fully for him. But he is also another one who I think he knows exactly what he wants. He's not just going to take the Boohoo Man campaign, because that's not him, you know?
And what's funny is he's going to be one of those people in a couple of years where you're going to be like, oh my God, he was on Love Island.
Exactly.
Like, he'll be that person. You're like, fucking hell, damn, he was on Love Island. Exactly. Like, I totally forgot that part of his journey. And you can totally see it. And like, even down to Tasha's, like, the shoots that she's choosing to do and, you know, wearing pre-loved on the NTA red carpet last week or before and like all of this stuff, it just is creating like a broader brand rather than I'm going to get money there and I'm going to get money there and I'm going to do this. And that's good for Instagram. It's like, it's creating a brand. Exactly. Like when I saw Ekin-Su announce that she was doing Dancing on Ice, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. It was exactly the thing I felt like she should have immediately said no to.
Absolutely.
And I think it just shows where she's setting, like she's setting her own ceiling. She's doing the ITV travel show with Davide in the next couple of months. Then she's going to be into Dancing on Ice on ITV.
Yeah.
It's like your trajectory is now. Like, you know, you're never going to be as hot as you are right now. And you need to monetize on that right now. And by setting your, like, your next 6 months up to be, I'm working with ITV.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I really didn't see that for you. I really saw...
Yep.
Broader, bigger,
beyond America. I saw TV, personality, and E online. And like she could do so much.
Yeah.
To the point where even like, yes, I understand we found her on reality TV, but becoming a TV personality is harder than people can, you know, think of. And I think she would be a great TV personality, but again, you're capping yourself. Dancing with Ice for like people who are on Emmerdale and need to pay their mortgage, like what are we doing? Like, or for like, what was his name, Ray Quinn?
Oh my god, do you remember Ray Quinn? He was so good though, wasn't he? What did he come like?
He was so good.
He was so good. No, do you know who I remembered was your one who did, do you remember the one who did Jai Ho? And she got like straight, I'm such a nerd. She did Jai Ho and she got like straight tens. And I'm not joking. Sometimes I watch that back, like still to this day. Like it was so good. She did this thing where she was floating, right? One leg on the ice, one leg up at like a 90 degree angle, right? Can you picture it? And she does this with her hands, right? Where she kind of goes like this. And no one else can see this, it's a podcast, or you can watch it on YouTube. We're on YouTube, you can see what I did just there. And I remember being like, wow, she's dancing on ice. Like, I was just blown away.
Hilarious. The Hayley, fact that you go Hayley, back
Hayley Tamaden,
I have no idea who you're on about.
Oh, thrill.
I have no earlier. Clue who you are talking about.
You'd know her now as soon as you'd see her.
I do not know who this woman is.
Oh my God, I'm such a loser.
You are the biggest loser I've ever met, but I love you.
I swear to God, it was such an impressive. I mean, now that I actually look at the images, it was probably culturally insensitive. just before we started recording, another Love Island story. I say broke. It's kind of soft launching around the red tabs.
Oh.
Chloe and Toby, have they split?
What was, I saw a TikTok just before I came on and it was from Toby.
Saying be single, be real, be single. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's been rumors about them splitting pretty much every day since they've left the villa.
Really?
Yeah. Like I feel like there's always rumors about the two of them splitting. No?
Ooh,
I feel like I disconnect so fucking much when they leave.
See, I really like Toby. Like, I follow both of them on TikTok. I think they're both really, really funny. I actually like them as a couple. I would be very upset if they split up, actually. I think I would be invested because their journey was very tumultuous,
to say the
least.
She was such a surprising star.
I disliked her.
Beyond.
In like,
hey, boys.
Right? I disliked her so much. And then I've never done a 180 quicker because she soon became my favorite person, because I just like people who are like unapologetically themselves.
And
she was just like, I don't care, like this is just who I am, and if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Oh, she was so good. And I just think forever we will be referencing it wasn't a test for me, it was for you. And like, oh, I just think in one moment Chloe just shut down every future Casa Moore dilemma, because you're just like, refer to Chloe, like you failed.
Exactly.
Like, so good. So yeah, I would be sad if they broke. Before we jumped on to record, I checked their socials. They hadn't put up like a, me and Chloe have decided that we're better off. Okay. I haven't seen one of those arsehole-y statements going around the internet. But I also don't think that's how they do it. Maybe the be real, be single thing is how Toby would do it.
Knowing Toby, I don't put it past him.
Yeah.
We'll see. Keep our eyes open.
Keep our eyes open. I saw somewhere that they're splitting, but they are currently working out the logistics because they're living in an Essex home together.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that not the most depressing idea ever? That they're like, we're just gonna figure out what we're gonna do with this like massive gaff that we're renting in Essex. And gosh, awful. You are not watching Married at First Sight UK. This, we're on to another one, guys, just in case anyone just got a bit of on to the next one. You're not watching it, but you're getting drip fed through TikTok.
I am.
What is your awareness of this series?
I want to start off by saying,
go on,
I do love Married at First Sight.
Yes.
But the UK one stresses me on.
Yeah.
The UK, the UK one stresses me out. The, my point has been proven this season again.
Okay.
The experts do not join people for love. They join people for carnage.
Okay.
And I watched the first, I think it was the first or the second episode, the one where we saw Whitney and Duca. And I was like, this isn't, I can't do this. I won't do this to myself. She literally despises this man. He can't do anything right.
Yeah.
I understand that. So Duca and Whitney aren't together anymore. Whitney's with the guy with the tats. And he was with the girl with the red hair. And she was like kind of apparently overly sexual. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. And I'm saying she wants to like suck him off. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Not wrong.
And then love Keisha.
Keisha and Kwame. Yeah, Keisha was brilliant.
Keisha is fantastic.
Do you know what I think? It was such a shame with Keisha because I feel like Keisha was bubbling under the surface the whole season. And every once in a while, you get that full view of her, like really understanding the mindfuckery of other people. But I felt like we didn't see enough of it. And by the time it came to them deciding they were going to go their separate ways, it sounded as if she came in really hot and was like, I'm out. I fucking can't with this guy. But you knew it was bubbling, but we just never saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was my only disappointment with Keisha. And I don't know, was that a her thing or was that a production and edit thing? I think it was potentially a bit of both.
Yeah.
But she came out, her and Kwame, he was just like, so they did home visits and he like wouldn't bring her to her home because he was like, I'm a really private guy, but this park is really important to me. She's like sat there in this fucking park being like, cool. I told you about like my deepest and darkest secrets and you're bringing me to your local fucking park. Like, what the hell? He was just not into it. He just wasn't into it. And she was like trying to commit.
Yeah.
He just wasn't into it. But she put up like all her wedding pictures on Instagram. I don't know if you saw that. She put it up last week to be like, good luck to the rest of the couples on your journey. Like, I've had such a good time. But she had like scribbled out Kwame in all of the pictures. And it was just like the most beautiful shade. And apparently he was pissed about it. The reunion's on tonight and I fucking can't wait. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to kick off. It's such a good show. And I feel like the only thing I feel about it is that the pacing is kind of weird. Like, that's the only thing that I'm like, oh, the pacing kind of kills me. It's like they spend so long getting through all of the marriages. They spend so long getting through all of the honeymoons.
Yeah.
And then you feel like when they're actually living together and all the dinner party stuff, which is the best bit, kind of flies by.
Yeah.
And that's my only thing with it. It's my only thing. But I love the reunions on this show because they really bring out the receipts. It's so good. Yeah. They play clips and stuff. Like, so they'll show clips of what people have said about each other, and like say the couple that played away on their partners, we'll see the scene that they did their like chatting and like they really don't let you away with anything on Channel 4. It's brilliant. So
love it. The messier the better.
I mean, we say that, and then there's one guy who I'm sure George this has made its way to TikTok. I'm pretty sure George was one of the finalists on this year on MAFS this year, and he was with a girl called April, who was a former Miss GB or Miss UK. I think Miss GB. They recommitted in Final Vows. Spoiler, sorry, they did. You saw it coming. Don't give her to me. But they are no longer together. He is no longer a part of the show, and he won't be in the reunion either tonight or tomorrow night because George was arrested, I think, 3 weeks ago after three of his exes alleged that he was emotionally abusive. Now, couple of statements here. Met Police came out and said that a 40-year-old man, George, was arrested by Met officers on the 29th of September on suspicion of controlling coercive behavior. He was taken to a police station and subsequently bailed to return pending further inquiries. This follows an allegation of controlling coercive behavior and harassment reported to the Met on the 26th of September. Now, E4 made a statement shortly after that saying, we work incredibly closely with our production partners to ensure all Married at First Sight UK contributors are subject to rigorous background and psychological checks, including the most detailed police checks, a production is able to undertake. Any allegations of this nature are taken very seriously by Channel 4. Now, I will say that when these allegations came out and he was arrested, mm-hmm. Channel 4 didn't change any of the footage. They didn't remove him from any of the episodes. They aired the season as was planned. He mm-hmm. just was not invited to the reunion. So okay. I'm kind of like, you were happy to keep him in the show though. Like you were kind of happy to keep him in the show. But it's just such a... It brings up that question again of like the vetting of reality TV stars and what, and like they say there, you know, the police checks that a production is able to undertake, how far can they get access? Because if there was no police reports made about these, you know, allegations originally, then maybe there was nothing to find. And it just, it kind of raises the question of how responsible can production be held when it comes to stuff like this? Like how deep can they dig?
I feel like specifically with maths, though, their duty of care is more. And because there is a literal psychologist on the like experts, and I'm not being funny. You only have to watch a little bit of that man to know that he is not right in the head. Yeah. Like he was so weird. And I feel like, without getting too, you know, heavy or whatever, there is a world in which reality TV can exist, but we have to keep the people safe for it to continue, because we can't keep having the same stuff cropping up with like men and women who do crappy behavior, crappy stuff. And then even like, for example, what's her name? Remember Faye from Love Island, Got to Go Back? But even that whole thing, that whole blow up. And it was like, this is so unnecessary to happen. Like we shouldn't have been made to watch it, but also that Teddy didn't have to go through that.
Yeah.
And the same with this whole math situation, like more can be done, but then are they willing to do it? I don't know.
Yeah. It's really interesting because I feel like what you're saying is, and it's constantly that debate for fans. And I imagine production as well of like, you know, how much do you sanitize because you lose some of the grit and the edge and the entertainment and all that kind of stuff. But there is a pattern here of people who have the kind of personality to want to audition for reality shows and take part in reality shows. Mm-hmm. There's a high percentage of those people who have kind of weird shit in their past and like weird behaviors. And it's like, there's definitely someone who did a thesis somewhere on this. And if you did, please send it to me because I'd love to read it.
Yeah.
And I find that without dehumanizing the people who are actually victim of it, I find it interesting to be like, what is it about this space that people, because, and I'll reference Housewives, we're going to get to it in a second, but you know, you always hear Housewives say like, the one thing I would say to anyone who's thinking about coming on a Housewives show, if you have any skeletons in your closet, don't go on. Like, don't go on because they will be dug up. Mm. And like, we hear that all the time with when there's legal issues with different housewives and all this kind of stuff. Mm. And I just wonder, like, what? I don't know. And obviously, look, maybe there wasn't allegations formally made against George before. And he says that he is innocent. He denies all allegations because he says that he is, quote, the father of daughters, which means he can't hate women.
That means nothing.
It's another podcast. We won't unpack it here.
Yeah.
Let's just say that's an idiotic statement to make in the face of what he's being charged with. Yeah. But I just find it really curious that there are so many of these stories across the reality TV space.
I think people want fame though. Mm. Nobody wants to just be rich and not known. Once you get to a certain level, like people want fame, people want that, the clout. Like I think that's what's the common denominator.
Yeah.
A lot of the people who, like you're saying, have skeletons in their closet, but also so fame hungry that they're just kind of like, I'll con my way through it or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's what's the common denominator between all of them.
And then there's people on the show who you kind of question, like, did you genuinely go on this to find love? Because there are some people that I'm like, it does seem like you did. Like, it does seem like you genuinely thought, this is it. I'm going to meet my life partner. And I'm like, why, honey? Why did you think that?
Why would you do that to yourself?
No.
But I think, for example, like Married at First Sight Australia, I love it. Because
love it.
majority of the people who go on there, I will say, genuinely are looking for love. It's kind of like Love is Blind, like the first season, where a lot of the people were genuinely looking to be like set up.
Yeah.
And I think the formula for shows like that is you have to have majority of the people wanting to find love and then like a sprinkle of chaos.
Of performers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But if you have 80% performative chaotic behavior, it's just going to be carnage. And yeah, fine, you get, you know, viral moments, whatever. But I don't know. I love love. That's why I love these reality
shows. Would you ever do it? Would you ever do maths?
UK, no.
Australia, you would.
Australia or US, potentially. Okay.
Putting it out there, guys. Come on. Someone's got to know somebody.
Right? Grab me. I'm ready. But I would take it seriously. That's the thing. Like, don't play.
Would you?
Actually? I genuinely want to find someone. And I love the idea of like being set up by a professional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like the idea of like not seeing each other and like talking through a pod. Like, that to me is like
talking through a pod. Sorry, and you're in this freak boat with me, Zarel. Stop it.
We are both losers.
Me here, like, who's Hayley Tamaden? And you're like, I love the idea of talking through a pod.
I do. So I would do it, but yeah, I wouldn't do the UK one. Absolutely.
No,
not.
I don't think, and do you know what as well? Like, and then this means that I'm just not genuine, but like, you don't gain enough from the UK one to risk it. Do you know what I mean? Like, the success rate is not that good.
Oh, yeah.
Financially, you're not going to make a career out of it.
Whereas
in Australia, it's like, success rate is a bit better, but also financially, you stand to earn a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, like, it's kind of a win-win. Either you find love and you do well, or you find money and you do well. And
exactly.
It's like, yeah, those odds are in your favor.
Yeah.
We have never discussed our next topic, and I'm excited to get into it because I don't know what your relationship is with the shows and what you watch and what you don't, but it was a big weekend.
Yep.
I presume you were as glued as I was. It was BravoCon, which is the Comic-Con for Bravo freaks like us. And I know I discuss it every week, but there's lots of news, guys, so we're going to discuss it more. Can I first ask, what is your relationship with Housewives? What do you watch? Or Bravo in general, what do you watch? Where
Here's
are we in the...
Now.
Yeah, go.
I watch Atlanta, Potomac, Salt Lake City, Orange County.
Okay.
Basically nearly all of them. Okay, let me stop doing the rundown. Every one of them apart from New Jersey is what I watch. However, I dip in and out because sometimes the seasons are so toxic that I'm like, I don't want to watch this every week. Or they've got crap cast. Like, the cast just isn't pulling me in.
Okay.
So, but I am very up to date with like Beverly Hills, Potomac, Atlanta, Orange County. So I love Housewives. Bravo as a whole, I wouldn't say I watch everything.
Yeah, I haven't branched out yet. I know that I want to do Summer House and Winter House. I want to do them, but
what's it about?
It's like a group of young people move into a house for a summer. So kind of Love Island vibes, but not like, they're not like all in bikinis and stuff all the time. It's not that kind of game show type vibe. And then there's a spin-off called Winter House, which is obviously the winter months.
Yeah.
And apparently that was amazing. And I think that's probably where I'll go next. Because Below Deck is too much. Married to Med is meant to be really good as well, but I just haven't got there.
It is good. But I've dipped in and out, but it is good. I really like Married to Medicine.
I'm kind of the same as you, except for I have watched New Jersey. I haven't watched OC. And I'm halfway through Atlanta because I did all the big ones first. I did like Beverly Hills, New York, New Jersey. And then I just couldn't face Atlanta as well because it was like 14 seasons or so. I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
So I'm on season, I think, 4 of Atlanta. And I'm really excited because I'm just starting to get to like where it's like, it's, you know what I mean? Like that gorgeous part where it's like, it's clicking and you've got all the girls and it's all the good people. Like, I haven't met Portia or Kenya or any of them yet. Like, Cynthia and Phaedra are just after joining. So it's like, I'm really excited about the next.
Yeah, you've got so many good things coming.
Oh, we're in such a good place. And I feel like it's going to give me a broader understanding of the Bravo, like, franchise. Because obviously, like, the further you get into it, the more you understand about, like, the production and all that. And I just find it really interesting that Atlanta is the best paid city and that Candy Burris is the best paid housewife. And, like, culturally, it probably has the biggest influence based on all the shows. So I'm excited to kind of get into that a little bit more. But it did mean that the Atlanta stuff at BravoCon kind of went over my head. But I didn't I didn't think there was a huge amount of news from Atlanta.
No.
Okay, we're cool.
Also, this season of Atlanta wasn't my favorite.
Okay, so Marlo got her peach. Yeah, that was finally the big news, right?
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, Marlo got her peach, and then they had this other girl called like Sonia with this woman. And okay, she didn't really do much.
Okay.
You know, when it just, you're lacking
one
person or one thing that's like integral. It all felt like flitty and like kind of surface level. There was nothing that was like grounding it. And I think they're still trying to find their boots, because basically once Portia, Nene and Phaedra left, the show was still good, but Candy doesn't give that much as an OG. Cherie doesn't give that much as an OG. Like, Kenya gives some, but she's a bit too shady sometimes and a bit too toxic. Like, you kind of need
to enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah. So you didn't miss much. There was not much news missed at BravoCon.
And I feel like that's kind of like what happened with New York as well. You kind of lost the fun toxic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you lost the kind of the Beth, like the cut from Bethany that you'd be like, that was actually so good that like she just, but then it just got to this real like nasty, like I don't want Ramona to be the only person who's giving me shade, because it's just like, it's yucky and I just don't want it.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest stories to come out of BravoCon was obviously the Roni reboot. We're getting a brand new cast. We're getting two. There's going to be Legacy and the main show. And they announced the new cast for the main show. Mm-hmm. And like, I just saw them walk out and I was like, oh, girls, we're going to be friends. Like, we're going to be friends. I'm so excited. And like, I don't know what it is, but I feel optimistic about the lineup.
Really?
Yeah. Do you not?
I feel like they shouldn't have scrapped everything.
Okay.
And started fresh. I think that's rogue, because what keeps people in it is you've got integrity.
History. Yeah.
There's, you know, there's a pattern. There's, for me to now have to invest in 6-7 new women, understand them, unless they're bringing it from the jump and it's zingy from the get-go.
Yeah.
I don't know how invested I will be.
My source of optimism is that the last BravoCon, they announced Salt Lake City and people were like, oh, what? Like, people were so excited for what city it was going to be. They were like, it's going to be Nashville. It's going to be Dallas. Like, it's going to be all these ones, right?
Yeah.
And they announced Salt Lake City. People were like, oh. And there wasn't much, like, positive energy. People weren't like, oh, it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, Salt Lake City has only just returned to its third season, like, in the last couple of weeks. And I'm like, this is some of the best Housewives drama I've seen in my whole
creme de la creme.
It's unbelievable. It's creme such a good creme. Cast. And like, at different times they're good. Like sometimes I'm like, what is Meredith's point? And then I see an episode with her and I'm like, Meredith is this character.
Yeah.
And even if you don't like her, she's such an interesting character that you're like, brilliant. Lisa, you're like, I could never be friends with you, but also I want to have a drink with you because I just think you're so, and that's what makes me optimistic, is like, that was such a recently cast show.
Mm-hmm.
That it makes me think that like they've had a pretty good win very recently. And I just think Jenna Lyons, I think there's some really interesting names there. And it's going to bring us to different parts of New York. Like, we're not going to be at the Regency every week in like, you know, downtown.
That's Manhattan. The only good thing. Yeah. I feel like that's the only thing with New York that annoys me, is it is just a certain type of New York woman that they kind of get on.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about having Bethany on there, because she brought like another, and even Jill, I loved her energy. You know what I mean? Like, you have all of these, and even what's her name? Scatty lady.
Sonia.
Dorinda.
Oh, Dorinda. Oh.
I loved Dorinda until she took a turn. But when she first came on, she was great.
She was so great. So great. And then her last season with Tinsley, where she was just like harassing her. I was like, I can't watch you do this to her.
Awful to watch.
So Dorinda obviously asked, she asked at BravoCon at one of the Ask Andy panels when she would be put, or when she would be coming off pause, because she famously thinks that that's different to being fired. And he is saying her time is coming. So it seems as if she's coming to Legacy. Like, it seems as if she's going to be on it. Which it kind of annoys me, because it feels like she's being rewarded for bad behavior. But I also just think we'll benefit in the long run. You know?
Well, did you watch Girls Trip? When
I didn't love her on it.
I hated her on it. She's crazy. Like, the thing is, she has moments where I'm like, oh my God, you are TV gold. And then she just goes that smidge too far, and then you're like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Like, she, what
do you think? Jill is right, because Jill said it. She was like, the fame just got to her, and she just doesn't, she can't like self-regulate. And I feel like that's it. I feel like she's so aware of like the moments and like what's going to be talked about in social media and like what's my next clip. And like, she walks on stage all the time, like doing her own catchphrases, which I just think is naff. Like, it's for the fans to do that to you, and you'd be like, oh yeah, that's cute. You're not meant to be the one being like, clip. It's just not cute. And I just feel like, did she get caught up in just the housewives machine? Like,
yeah, I mean, I can believe it. It seems that way. But yeah, I bring back old school Dorinda. She was great.
Old school Dorinda was so good.
So good. So good. So much fun as well. Like,
her creepy Christmas decorations and stuff. I think I love this. Elsewhere, there was quite a lot of drama with Beverly Hills. There was massive queues to get into it. It was one of the most eagerly anticipated panels, much because they didn't think everyone was going to be there. And last minute, it was confirmed that Lisa Rinna was going to be there. And she was, and she arrived and she got booed on stage, which... Yep. I mean, I kind of know why. Like, you can't argue with why.
We know why. We know why.
Tough season for Lisa Rinna. Do you think it's her last?
Do I think it's her last?
Like a prophecy, Sorrel, tell me.
I'm 50-50, and I'll tell you why. I think it could be her last, because it got so toxic and like unnecessary at the end. However, up until that whole Kathy thing, she was tolerable for the season and even had some decent moments. There was times where I was like, oh, you're kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But for the most part, not out of regular Lisa Rinna world, but the Kathy thing just was so unnecessary. And the way she went about it. And I also think that Andy has a soft spot for her.
He has a soft spot for her. Yeah.
And
I think, and you also have to consider as well, like Erica Jane has her job is secure for like the next couple of seasons, because she's going to be the storyline. And whether you like Lisa Rinna or not, and most people don't right now, she got one of the biggest reactions at BravoCon. Like, it was the reaction that everyone was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, and if there's anyone who can take it, not that they should have to, Lisa Rinna is one of those characters who kind of seems to bounce off that energy as well.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, from a production side of view, do they say, let's give her one more and see, like, let's really lean into Lisa Rinna as the villain. Like, I think it's such a classic thing with people who watch Housewives, and I'm learning this as a relatively new person to the franchise. Like, when they're really annoying you, you're like, oh, they need to go. And then they go and you're like, I miss them.
Yep.
I miss them.
Yep.
And it's like,
also, she could rebrand if she wanted to. She could absolutely come back and rebrand. It's happened before. It will continue to happen. This is not something she can't come back from.
Yeah.
But knowing what I know of Lisa Rinna, I doubt she wants to. She's going to die with this Kathy story, which has been completely blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. She'll bring the ratings because people are coming on to see the carnage.
Yeah.
But it's whether or not we want a toxic season.
I just think it's time to swap the dynamics on Beverly Hills. I think one of the best parts of this season was watching the breakdown between Kyle and Erica and Lisa, and actually seeing that finally dissolve a little bit and not have them blindly back each other just because they're friends. Because people say, oh, but they're friends, they're meant to do that. They're also paid reality TV stars. Yeah. And if it was just friendships we were watching, then that's fine. But they're paid to give us these moments. And I don't want them to sit on the fence and sit in that comfortable space of, well, she's my friend.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that sway in the allegiances. And I would love to see Garcelle stop being the kind of the other, like the person trying to speak sense to them. Like Garcelle is like the future of this show. She's going to be one of the main stars on it for the foreseeable. I think she's an amazing addition to the cast.
Yeah.
As is Sutton, even though she can be incredibly annoying.
Yeah.
And as is Crystal, even though she can be a little bit quiet. They're like a really interesting new kind of grouping to bring in. And I would love to see another person brought in that sits somewhere between like a kind of a Kyle and a Garcelle, somewhere in that space where that power dynamic can then flow back and forth, because that's what makes it enjoyable, because you don't know who's going to win each argument because there's like a toss up in the numbers, you know?
Yeah. I think, I agree. I think Crystal.
I think she's good. I know what you're saying. She's really cool. I think potentially as a friend of, but then I think, as a friend of, she'd probably just fully take her foot off the pedal. But I think sometimes she can come in with like some real like reality checks for the group. And like, I've seen moments this season where I'm like, we need more of that. More of that. But I
think she, this is her, what, her second one? Oh, this is her second. This
is it second or third? Second? Let's say second.
Let's say second. Let's say second.
I'm going to Google it.
I think she can bring more. She can bring more, because it's once the whole Erica thing kind of dies down, we won't really, I don't know. All she seems to be doing right now is kind of giving people reality checks. But I also I need more from her. I don't know what it is I need, but I need more from her.
Yeah.
I think Garcelle and Sutton, fab. Sutton is absolutely batty, but I love her because she's
such good battiness, isn't it? Oh, like it's real good kind of madness. I love it.
Just mad. Even when she made that comment about Dorit, and it was like, oh my God, this is wildly insensitive. But also at the same time, like this is what TV is, because like, what the hell did you just say?
This is you at your authentic self.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's mad.
And completely oblivious and unaware to how like not okay it was that she said that. But also she takes accountability and like apologizes. Like I do like her.
Yeah.
I think Kyle is annoying.
Okay. Okay.
Mainly because she sits on the fence. Mm. I cannot stand the fact that she, like, even at the reunion when she was like standing up for Diana.
Diana. Oh.
And I was like, what are you doing?
Pencil. I was like, oh my God.
Are you?
That was honestly one of the most outrageous moments. And how Garcelle was able to sit there and
honestly,
like for anyone who doesn't know, Garcelle's 14-year-old son was viciously attacked on social media, was threatened with racial slurs, was like got death threats, like horrific stuff, stuff. And one comment in particular that he got was in reference to George Floyd. It was like something about kneeling on the neck, and Diana's name was in the text that he got sent. He screenshot it and put it up being like, this is too far. I need this to stop. He's 14 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And Diana had the nerve in the reunion to say he should have removed my name. And how the rest of the women were like, yeah, that's a fair request. He's 14 years of age. And it was outrageous.
Outrageous. I really felt for Garcelle, because in that moment, you are already drained and tired from like everything. Like, you don't even necessarily want to be the one. I know people are like, oh, you don't need your friends to fight your battle. But in that moment, the other women should have stepped up and been like, no, that is a ridiculous request to make from a 14-year-old who's literally been berated online.
Yeah.
Like, you are a grown woman. Just like, that's not okay. It's not okay. So yeah, Kyle irritates me, and I don't like the way she treats Kathy, and I really like Kathy. I think she's funny. But Kyle can't go. at the same time.
She can't go. That's why I'm like, we need someone to make Kyle better. We need someone to come in to even just challenge Kyle, because I think we'd actually enjoy Kyle if she was getting more regularly challenged and not winning.
Kyle had Lisa Vanderpump, it was fantastic because Lisa called out all of the crap.
Yeah,
right?
It was fun. It was fun.
It was fun. They had a great relationship. Now that she doesn't have that person, it's just, I don't know, it's weird. But I do think there will be drama with Dorit and Erica potentially.
Sorry, yeah. Who's the next Bravo Liberty couple that's going to split? And Erica Jane said PK and Dorit.
Yeah.
And then Dorit responded, didn't she? Did she say something? Like she misery?
Misery loves company.
Yes, that was it. That was it.
And then for all of those who know us, as in her and PK, you know, like what our relationship means to us, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, why did Erica do that?
Well, I honestly, why? There's an endless list of people you could easily pick. Easily.
Like endless. You picked.
Like even Andy's face was like, what?
Yeah.
Why have you done that? Like, why have you just thrown that grin? And then she sat there doing this thing with her hair. Like, yes, I give you moments. And it's like, Erica, like, please stop. Yeah. Please stop. I can't. One of my friends is like a hardcore Erica stan. She's like, I love her so much. And I'm like, I can't. This is what I really don't want us to not be friends anymore, because you love Erica Jane, but like, I can't. It's too much.
I loved Erica.
Yeah.
Just turned.
Then we got to know her and we're like, oh, actually, it's pretty dark in here. Not a nice person. I want to quickly cover, because I know we've been talking about this for a bit, but I want to quickly cover this show because I feel like you love it as much as I do. Potomac is, I would say it's probably my favorite of all of them. And I forget about it when it's not on and I kind of flip between the others. And then it comes back and I'm like, you can't argue. Potomac is just
100%.
Yeah, at this moment in time. And yeah, but it's so good. It's so good. And what a good cast.
I saw a tweet saying what makes Potomac so good is the fact that the cast being drama, shade, and fun.
Yeah.
Like, even if they're like, for example, when Karen and Giselle go through it, they are able to go on girls' trips and have some fun. Like, the other franchises struggle to do that because they just hate each other like literally venom.
Do you remember when Karen's husband was going through all the tax issues and he had like not paid his taxes and Giselle wore the t-shirt hashtag tax reform, and I was like, I fucking love you so much. Like, this is the kind of bullshit I need on my reality.
Wild.
And Karen with the biggest Gucci belt you could possibly buy being like, you're tacky as hell, Giselle. Just like, I love this so much. Such so a show. And it's exactly that. And it's even when you know that there's been some really serious beef going on and like some really serious feuding.
Yeah.
It never takes away from the job that they have to do.
Yeah.
And I think that group of women understands better than any other ensemble cast.
Yeah.
What the assignment is. And I 100%. Think there's no, Mia's not the strongest, but she still adds a level of madness that I kind of enjoy. But there's no like weak link. There's no one on Potomac that I'm like, they obviously have to go. It's such a good cast. You've got some really interesting partners.
Yeah.
I am so excited for Ashley Darby's single season.
Yeah.
And like what we're going to see of her post the worst husband in the world. Like, excited. Michael Darby is one of the worst husbands I've ever seen on this ranch. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
We got a couple of moments at BravoCon. Ashley is being shipped with Luke Gulbranson, who I think is from Summerhouse.
Yes.
Very attractive man.
Yeah.
They are really leaning into that fandom, which again, I think is more of a business decision than a romance decision.
Yeah.
But I love that Ashley has that.
Have your fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have your fun,
absolutely. We also saw Robin and Karen getting very spicy at their panel. They seem to be really locking horns. And then Cynthia Bailey, who I knew Cynthia Bailey from Ultimate Girls Trip, but I'm only now getting to know her on Atlanta.
Okay.
And I'm meeting her now with her boyfriend, potential husband, Peter Thomas. Right. And he is now linked to Giselle and Potomac. So it's it's like such a good time for me to be getting there, because I'm understanding who he is at the same time as I'm watching him be introduced to Potomac. So what is the story there?
With Peter and Cynthia.
So they're exes, right? But how is he linked to Giselle? It's like a romance?
Well, apparently. So that's what they've teased, is that Peter has this romantic connection with Giselle, but also I think he has a bar in Potomac. That's why he's in the area. And I think they're trying to make it link him to someone else, who's Wendy. Her starting her own like lounge or whatever. But Peter and Cynthia's relationship, I won't give away spoilers, but it was wild. Okay.
Yeah.
They had some really good moments.
Okay.
And they had some moments that you're like, what is happening right now?
I'm so excited.
And Peter ends up becoming a big personality on his own.
Yeah, because I always see memes of him being like a real housewife.
Yeah. Him and Nene have this blowout scene where she basically calls him Patricia. And she's like, you are a housewife, stay out of our business. I won't tell you what the full argument was about, but yeah. So he now has like, he's got his own brand in Bravo, basically.
Okay.
So it makes sense that he could jump over to.
I'm so excited to get the context to all of these stories, because as soon as I saw the Giselle rumors about her being linked to him, I was like, I need to catch up in Atlanta. Like I need, because I love Potomac so much. That I wouldn't want the viewing experience of watching it to be ruined because I haven't watched something else.
Yeah.
So it's like, So it's putting me through Atlanta, but I'm glad to be there. Right. We'll park it, because I feel like I could keep talking about Housewives.
Honestly, I forget how much I love talking about reality TV. Like, and I don't really have anyone in my real life who I can like, just be like, oh my God, did you watch ABCD and pick up the phone and call? Like, I'm going to start calling you.
I'm like, this is really rude. I'm sat right here. What the fuck?
This is the fuckingest shit
you've ever done. Are you for real? I have nobody in my life that I can talk to about all the things that I love, like the stuff I just spoke about with you. I'm nobody I can talk to about that.
No. I was coming to the end. You didn't have to finish. I was like, I'm going to start calling you. Forgive me.
You're like in space again. Like, I'm sorry.
I'm never going to be able to get that image of me sideways in Intergalactica out of my head.
Honestly, I hope we were recording.
Honestly,
I see the moment you just pop back in like on a 90 degree angle. Other than reality TV, what have you been loving this week? Is there anything that has jumped out to you, be it television, food, anything at all that has made you happy in the last week?
Yes.
Okay.
Strictly.
What?
Strictly Come Dancing?
Oh, I did not think that's what you said. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Strictly Come Dancing. Was that word? Okay. Strictly. Okay. Didn't think of you as a hardcore Strictly fan. Not gonna lie.
Most people don't think that, but I love
Strictly. You're like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Literally. I will be doing the Paso Doble in my living room by myself. I love it. So that's been giving me some joy.
Okay.
I haven't been up to date with Bake Off this year.
Bake Off has not captured me this year.
It just hasn't. There's not even like one person who I'm like, oh, having said that, there's a really good looking, I don't know where he's from, good looking man. But other than that, I'm like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
And that's not enough to keep me coming back.
No, and it's clashed with maths for me. So I'm just like, I can't do both. And I watch it now like kind of, but I never watch it like up to date. And I don't mind if I see spoilers, which is so unlikely with Bake Off. So yeah, it hasn't grabbed me this year at all. And I feel like I've heard a lot of people say that. I'd love to know what the viewing figures are like this year. If it's dropped at all. It almost feels like it's too early or something. Like we're not at Bake Off season yet, but we absolutely are.
Yeah. I also think that's another TV show that needs a shake up with presenters, because.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there. But anyways.
I hear what you're saying.
Other than that, nothing much. TV's kind of
I would recommend The Watcher. So this is the new Netflix series, right? And I didn't think it was for me. And my girlfriend started watching it yesterday because I was like arsing around on my phone. I was in such a funk yesterday. I was in a horrible mood where it was just like really, really drained, like horrible mood.
Oh no.
And yeah, like really just, do you only get those days where you're like, oh, I just feel so yuck and I'm not happy and it's like, it's not nice. So I was just like on my phone. I didn't really want to focus on the TV and this show like drew me in. And so we're going to finish it tonight. I think we have two more episodes to watch. I think it's the top performer on Netflix at the minute. It's booted Jeffrey Dahmer. So, you know, people are a bit interested. It is about, let me get my notes up because I will definitely butcher it. It's Ryan Murphy. So you can kind of imagine like the look and feel. But it is based on this family, this married couple and their two kids who moved their dream home in Westfield, New Jersey. And they move from the big city and it's like this new life for them. And they really dig into their savings to be able to afford this amazing house. Mm-hmm. And they start receiving these letters in the post from someone who says that they are called The Watcher and they're watching them in the house. And it's like this kind of weird, it's a bit sci-fi-y. There's references to like cults and like drinking the blood of youth and like all this kind of stuff. And I absolutely thought it was not for me. And it's very much for me. And I would say as someone who doesn't love a jump scare.
Yeah.
We've gotten one, not that bad. Not that bad at all. Like definitely a manageable jump scare.
Okay.
It's more the eeriness of like, someone's in the house and like what's happening, but I'm still sleeping fine. So like for everyone who's actually a little bitch like I am, I actually think there's enough of a narrative that it's not focused solely on the like, ah, there's someone here. And you're not my God, I'm not going to sleep tonight. Like it's really, really good. Naomi Watts, Bobby Cannavale, who else is in it? Jennifer Coolidge is in it.
Oh, cool.
There's like a really, really good cast. It's really, really good. I think it's seven or eight episodes. Loved it. Like really surprised, but really, really loved it. Like we'll finish it tonight. So, I mean, I'm hoping it delivers. I know some people have had it ruined on TikTok because one of our friends said she can't watch it because it was ruined on TikTok, which I just,
such
a sad sign of the platform. But if you haven't, dive in.
Okay. I'm like you. I'm not a huge fan of a jump scare or an eerie situation. Like, please don't give me anxiety. I just want to watch TV. Like,
But and then sometimes you want a bit of a shake, right? You're like, ooh.
Yeah. And there are people in also, you know, I've seen online talking about it and it seems to be getting people buzzy. So I might jump on the bandwagon. I'll give it an episode or two.
Give it an episode and see. You'll get a kind of a vibe of like what kind of spooks are in it. It's a little bit, it's Ryan Murphy. So it's a little bit like theatrical spooky. So I think you can kind of detach it from like stuff that would actually happen in your own gaff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get to some of our listener stories before we wrap up. We have spoken a lot about housewives tonight. We've spoken a lot about relationship dynamics. And one of the things I love about the housewives is a chaotic relationship dynamic and a chaotic friendship because they give us that and a plenty. And it got me asking, who are the chaotic friends in your lives? Now, I will say, guys, bit disappointed. Not a huge amount of chaotic friends out there. Maybe we all need to spread our wings and find a few crazies to kind of spice up our group chats. But there was two that stood out. One that I actually am going to have to explain a little bit more to you, but maybe that will embrace our non-Irish listeners. One person messaged to say, my very shy gal pal had a threesome in a tent at Flakiol in Drogheda.
Okay.
So Flakiol is a traditional Irish music festival.
Right.
Not at all the space where you would envision any kind of kinky banter. Like not that space.
Okay.
Not the vibe. So like I can imagine if that story came into the group chat, you're like, wow.
She
really went there at Flakiol. Okay, cool. Yeah. Got it. This is one that it will break all kind of barriers of where we live, right? So we'll all get this one. A friend told a saga of how she was traveling solo in Thailand and on a snorkeling trip. She knew she was going to have a shit attack, but the boat had no toilet. So when they went in the water, she told all the other snorkelers to stay in the water on one side of the boat while she swam around to the other side to take a shit in the water. Then as she was swimming away, I'm so sorry if anyone's eating, fish came and swarmed around her to eat A girl came swimming around with a GoPro and my friend had to shout to go away. I would never recover. I would be, can you imagine the anxiety of that? Do you know when you're like caught in a precarious position, you're like, I need to go to the toilet and I'm not in a place where I can do that. And it's the fucking worst feeling of your life. You're like, what the fuck? Can you imagine being in the middle of a fucking ocean in Thailand being like, I actually need to do a dump and I have nowhere to go?
Was there no like bin on board or bag?
But then where do you go with the bin? Like, I'm imagining the boat now is pretty basic. Like, if there's no toilet, I'm imagining it's a pretty basic, like.
Oh my God, that is my worst fear. My worst. And you know what's worse? It's like, okay, it's already mortifying enough that I have to in the ocean. But then the fish congregate around me for mealtime. And then a GoPro comes and catches this all in 4K HD. What the hell?
Oh, I'd just be like, no. I actually think I would shut down. I actually think I would just power down in the water. I think I'd be like override, just like totally overwhelmed by what I do. I think I would just totally shut down.
What I would do,
yeah,
is I would pretend to faint.
Be in the water.
Before we even get into the water, we're not shitting.
Oh,
in the
okay.
ocean. Shitting in the ocean is not an option. Okay.
I'm like, so after you've shat in the ocean, what are you doing? Like, because obviously that's the part you wouldn't change.
Absolutely not shitting in the ocean. On the boat, I feel faint. Oh my God. I feel faint. Hand on forehead. I fall down. As I am on the floor, I shit myself purposefully. I am eyes closed. People try and wake me up. I'm like, oh my God, I can't. And they take the boat back. They call an ambulance. I go to the hospital.
And they're like, Sorelle, you relieved yourself on the boat. And you're like, and I'll be I'm so embarrassed.
I didn't even know. I'm so sorry. Knowing full well, it was all a performance and I just needed to shit. But there's no way I'm shitting in the ocean.
I feel like I would have shat in the ocean.
I can't.
I feel like I would have been like, where's the only place that I can't be seen?
The problem with that is people are like, she's made this decision. That was a choice you made. Mine is involuntary. Mine is an involuntary shit. Yours is a choice that you have planned out and you've thought this is the best course of action. Now, I know that this is bad, but there's no way I'm going to have randomers on holiday going back to their friends and being like, this girl shat in the Absolutely not.
It's like, do you know what it is though? It's like, I would have been like, maybe I'll just get in, maybe. But I would have never thought the fish. I would have never thought the fish would do me like that. I would have never thought the fish would be like.
Oh my God. And they,
can you imagine the sight of them coming towards you as well? I'd be like, what the fuck is
that? But also, okay, people are snorkeling on the other side of the boat. We're in water.
We're all in the same water.
It's going to travel. Like, this is a body of water.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a poor plan. I'm sorry.
But
poor
it's
plan.
Like when people piss in the pool. I'm like, and people are like, everyone does it. I'm like, you're all disgusting. You're Vile. All disgusting.
Ew.
Like, I'm talking if I had no other option and I'm like, maybe I consider the water. But if I'm just like, I don't want to get out and go to the toilet.
Go out and go to the
toilet. Fucking weirdo.
Or go over to, you know where the shower is? The shower you shower before you get into the pool. At least that's got a drain. Go and stand in the shower and switch it on and have wee. If you physically can't reach the toilet, but you're already out now, go to the toilet.
It's the fish, man. It's the fish.
Fish and the God. So do you think there's footage of like little...
What would it be though? Would it just be her like flailing around in the water? Like
floaties.
Oh my God, stop. Stop. Like little fish food. Wow. I would have been fucking glued to the group chat if that was coming into my group chat. I'd be like, sorry, you did what? And sorry, what? Brilliant.
Yeah, that's
guys, look, there might have been many, but I think that one made up for.
That's great.
That made up.
Great. Fantastic.
And with that, we're at the end of the episode. I'm feeling so much better after our chat about our favorite shit, even though you did struggle to decide who could you talk to about this stuff.
I'm never going to be able to live that down. Right. It's fine. It's fine. No worries. I'll work on it.
Yeah, I'll just schedule some more time. All right, Miss, I met Daniel Craig yesterday. Okay, cool.
Stop it.
Well, I mean, if you ever want to talk again, I've personally really enjoyed
this. My go-to number one is definitely you. 100%. 100%. Who else am I going to go to?
I've put in the work. Come on.
Yeah, no. We're great. We're a great team. No.
Sorry, I'm literally sweating after that conversation about the fish. I'm like, not the fish.
No. This is going to keep me up at night because, wow.
Not the watcher. It'll be me thinking of your one shitting in the water. I'm like, Chris using the bed. Like, I can't do it.
And I'm the type of person who, when I sleep, I think of scenarios. So I'll be plotting how I would be acting out on this boat while I'm naked and shitting myself.
Okay, let me know if you adapt the plan any further.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
It came to you too quick. Sorelle, it's always such a laugh.
Oh my God.
Lovely talking about all the other stuff that we love outside of Love Island, even though we got a little mention of that in there. I'm so happy to see you doing so well right now. I know you're busy and I know you're probably stressed off your tree and tired and all that stuff. But like, it is so lovely to watch you just absolutely taking all the stuff that's coming your way. So deserved. It's so lovely. So nice.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. And thanks for chatting to me and being my friend. And I'm just, I can't wait for, because I love to speak things into existence. I can't wait for this podcast to have a live show. And then I'm sat front and center.
Oh my God.
Like eyes beaming. So that's what we're manifesting, girlies.
Do you know what? I know it's so basic, right? But the podcast live shows just make me so happy when I see people do them.
I love them.
Oh, it's such a lovely thing.
Good. Because also it's everybody who like loves the podcast.
Same shit.
In the flesh together. Yeah. The energy in the room is zingy. Like,
oh, can you imagine the housewives chats we'd have if there was like multiple? Oh, it'd be hectic.
So good.
Hectic. Like mini BravoCon.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait. So this is what I want.
Yeah, let's manifest down the line. Manifest. Let's think good things. For now, you can just subscribe and leave a nice review. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So, Sorelle, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much to my guest, Sorelle Madsia, for joining me this week on the podcast. And thank you to you guys for tuning in each and every week. You can find us over on Instagram and TikTok at don'tquoteme.podcast. Please do continue to show us love over there. It means so much. You can also find us on all of your favorite podcast apps so you can listen whenever and wherever you like. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode and all of the latest goss. We'll talk to you then.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.